with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it, and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He then said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. Some people call themselves spiritual but not religious. This usually means that they believe in God and are trying to live according to divine commandments, but find the institutional church unnecessary, or perhaps even a hindrance. There were many in John's community who believed a version of this. Originally, the Gospel of John ended with last week's reading, but today's was added on to clarify our need for an institution, and as importantly, what allows it to truly be the church, truly the body of Christ. So let's pay close attention to it. It is best to begin midway. Jesus has just performed a miracle, and now he is inviting the apostles to breakfast. Seemingly innocent and innocuous, but there are two disconcerting factors. First, the charcoal fire. The last time we saw one in John's gospel was in the courtyard of the high priest during Jesus' arraignment. Let us remember that Peter was present and denied that he even knew Jesus three times, fulfilling the prophecy of the Last Supper. Peter said to him, "Master, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Amen, amen, I say to you, the cock will not crow before you deny me three times." Also, although Jesus had changed Simon's name to Peter, he now is reverting back to calling him Simon, clearly putting him back where he was before his denial. The focus is clearly on Peter. Jesus will ask him, "Do you love me?" And as Simon Peter denied him three times, he must now acknowledge him three times. But notice what he is told. "Feed my lamb, tend to my sheep." Let's look at this for a moment. Is that what would come to your mind first if you were Jesus? Would most of us tell him to perform some penitential act, or at least go to the temple and offer a sacrifice? Simon Peter is being very specifically asked, "Do you wish to be just Simon, or to become Peter again and return to your role as leader of the apostles?" It is placed in very Jewish terms. The leaders of Israel were often referred to as shepherds and usually seen as family. Ezekiel famously says, "Woe to the shepherds of Israel who have been pasturing themselves. Should not shepherds rather pasture sheep?" Some believed that only God himself could be the real shepherd of the people. How many times have we sung, "The Lord is my shepherd"? The members of John's community would certainly have understood this. The high priests and scribes connived to have Jesus put to death, and they were now persecuting them. A distrust of religious authority would have been, at very least, prudent. This is reflected in the gospel itself. Jesus said in a previous chapter, "I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep." They clearly saw that Jesus was involved in their lives and would be connected to them always. They wanted no one else in the way. Religion without any institutional baggage, for perhaps not unreasonably, they expected to be betrayed. If we read the epistles of John written about the same time as the added part of the gospel, we see a community in great turmoil. As today, when religion becomes something private, however meaningful, morality becomes something we decide ourselves, and often for our own convenience. Also, the sense of community that makes us who we are is lost. Practically, If there are no shepherds, no one has the authority to address these or any other difficulty. Something had to give. Now, we must remember that Christianity, although like Judaism and Islam, began in the desert, was very quickly an urban religion, organized originally by house churches with very little oversight. So in a large city, such as Antioch or Ephesus, where John was probably written, there would be Christians who followed Paul, others who followed John, others who followed Matthew, and so on. They would mostly have gotten along and certainly would have been aware of what other groups were doing. John's disciples would have noticed that some of these churches were forming a closer bond with each other, and that Peter was the sign of unity, and they were growing. Notice in the earlier section of this gospel, the apostles, the seven who were there, acted together as a church and hauled in 153 fish under Peter's direction. These leaders in John's community quite clearly saw what was happening, but they needed more convincing to join with them. As we saw before, Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd because he will lay down his life for the sheep. Look at what he says next to Peter. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But now, as you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. And the money shot. He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. Peter would be a good shepherd because he, like Jesus, would also be the lamb of sacrifice, unlike the wicked shepherds of Ezekiel or the high priests. He would offer himself for his people. Those who follow John will still insist on the superiority of their theology. Notice on Easter, it is John who first runs to the empty tomb. But showing respect for Peter, he waits outside the tomb for Peter to get there. And then, but unlike Peter, he looks and he understands the meaning of the empty tomb. Today we see again that he immediately knows that it is Jesus. But here again, the need for the unity of Peter surpasses even the most sublime theology. Now, this interpretation is neither new nor controversial nor cutting edge. I probably understood it better, at least in terms of the references involved 30 years ago, than I do now. But it's taken a while to really understand it. Like most of my generation, I was deeply influenced by the Vietnam War and Watergate, two instances of leaders not being shepherds and causing people to not only disparage them, but to question the need for strong institutions. If they're going to betray us anyway, why build them up? Not a particularly uncommon thought 40 years ago. It took community organizing to show me that a strong society requires strong and viable institutions. Odd, perhaps, that I spent half of my life fighting them and the other half trying to build them up. I saw also that people who ditched the church usually ceased having a meaningful relationship with God. We are reliving the situation of John's gospel, and we, like them, need to arrive at the possibly painful realization that institutional loyalty is loyalty to Christ. Perhaps most when the institution most needs to be challenged to be itself. The second revelation was through the recent scandals in the church. It is said that cardinals wear red vestments to symbolize the blood they would shed for Christ and his church. Obviously, we did not see much evidence of this. Today's gospel reminds us, though, as we are picking up stones to throw at other people, remember that the job description of any Christian who aspires to a place of leadership is that same willingness to suffer. It is easy to see that in others, but harder to find it in ourselves. Yet I realize both. I have not always been willing to put my comfort and best interests on the line. But when I was and when I did, I was not only most productive, but happiest. What does this mean to you? Leadership in the church, as in most of the world, is broadening. Next week is Good Shepherd Sunday. And we will look at what it means not only for the wider church, but for St. Charles in particular, to have an expanded view of leadership. But we must begin with the stark point that is made today, or actually stark points. We can do more together than we can as individuals, but we can only lead if we are willing to bleed.